Some of you know that fairy tale endings bother me. That when something ends with, and they lived happily ever after, all I can think is that can't possibly be true. What else happens? Surely the prince came home late one too many times, leaving the princess to do the bedtime ritual yet again, which then led to a fight. Or perhaps the princess hogged all of the sheets at night and the prince grew so salty about it that he yelled at her one morning. Or the two of them couldn't figure out how to talk about what really mattered the most to them and they grew distant from one another. The thing is, life is never just happily ever after. There's always going to be something that goes wrong. There are always going to be things that we do wrong. Yet, at a cursory glance, this ending to Job's story seems like a good fairy tale ending. I mean, up to this point, Job has lost almost everything because of a bet between God and the Satan, the Satan, the accuser. God wanted to prove Job's faithfulness, that his love of God is not purely because of anything, or is purely for God and not because of anything that he had been given. So God wagered that there wasn't anything the Satan could do to Job that would make Job curse God, including stripping all of Job's possessions, his health, and his family from him. His friends try to help and help console him, and in their desperation to make things better, just encourage him to curse God. Yet Job doesn't. Finally, Job demands an answer from God, bearing witness to all the pain that he has suffered, and in the process, gives voice to our own complaints about everything that we have suffered. God responds by telling Job that while God loves humans, there is more to the story. There is more to creation that Job just can't understand. There's a wider view, and while our suffering must be observed, we must also be able to focus on more than just that. Then we get to today's text, when Job answered the Lord, saying, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will declare to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Then Job lived happily ever after. Or at least that's what the text makes it sound like. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. God gave him more sheep, more oxen, more camels, more donkeys, more money, and more children. God gave Job more than he had before things were stripped away. And Job lived happily ever after until he died old and full of days. Yet that can't possibly be true. Sure, God has given Job more children, but he'll never be able to recover the children that he had before. These younger children, they can never be replacement children. Job's heart was broken the day that his children were carried off, and Job will always carry with him the scars of his loss, the scars of his grief, pain, and torment after losing everything. Yet here he is, given the gift of family again. The question is, what will Job choose to do? Will he choose to open his heart and love again, knowing that they could be lost? Or will he put up walls and refuse to let anyone in so as to avoid potential pain? these questions are not just for Job. They're also questions for us as well. While not everyone experiences tragedy, I don't know a single person who has not at times and places in their lives had times or places in their lives punctuated by loss, grief, and pain. We've all lost someone. We will all lose someone. Some of us have lost jobs, and others of us have felt the sharp pain of many other things lost to us, including our health, our autonomy, or a cherished possession. Sometimes those losses have been because of our own action or inaction, but oftentimes they are caused by things completely out of our control. And while it is tempting, in fact, maybe even primal, to close ourselves in, to let the hurt drive our desire to remain alone or focused purely on our own pain for far too long, we might miss the gifts that we have been given. When my fiancé Philip and I are asked how long we've been together, often we glance at each other with a questioning look, wondering which answer we will give. The reason is because a couple months after we started dating, I broke up with Philip. There were lots of reasons at the time, reasons that I told him. Yet as time went on, as we continued to spend time together, even though we were broken up, I eventually began to realize that it was really because I hadn't been open to loving again. That somehow, even though I knew that my first husband was dead, it felt like I was cheating on him with Philip. And I had not figured out how to let my heart expand so that it could include my love for Brady and my love for another. I had not figured out how to say yes to the gift that God had given me and the kind, generous, and loving man that I had been dating. Perhaps happily ever after really just means being able to say yes to love over and over again. Yes to the love that exists between romantic partners, even when we are let down by that person. Yes to the love that exists between parents and children, knowing that the former isn't perfect and the latter will sometimes make poor choices. Yes to the love that exists after a tragedy or when we've been wounded. Yes to the love of neighbor that allows us to care for one another. Yes to the love that God has for us, even when we are regularly wrong. While one might point to God restoring many blessings in Job's life after such a tragedy as the miracle of the story, the real miracle is that Job says yes to love again, even after being so wounded. And I suspect it is a choice that he is easily able to make because he is so well connected to God. Because that is a choice that God makes time and time again, saying yes to loving us, no matter how many times we are wrong, and no matter what we do. God always says yes to that love.